In today's episode, I have two highly motivated founders, Stefan and Patrick. Stefan even has a call, but we had to reschedule this call like two or three times. So I'm really, really happy that we made it, that they made it, that I made it. And they have a really exciting tool, in my opinion. They built something like Calendly, but optimized for freelancers who have a session-based business model. So people who are like consulting or sharing their knowledge or something like this. And I think they built like a really cool, cute software tool, which I saw on Product Hunt when I invited them. And I'm really, really happy that they are here today. They are located in Prague. I'm recording from Berlin, and let's get it started. So welcome to a new episode of the Digital Economics Podcast. Today I have Patrick Krunterath here and Stefan Kalter, who founded together Flowlands.com, which is a website, or maybe I give you a way to explain it, because I think it's a complex software. Maybe one of you guys want to introduce what Flowlands does.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having us. What is Flowlands? Flowlands is basically go-to app for every solopreneur, or let's say if you have clients and you have paid meetings and you live in your calendar, Flowlands is a tool to help you manage all of that admin processes, operations, and just get paid for your events right away from the calendar. So that I would say it's basic introduction of that.
So it's for people like coach, mentor, consultant, tutor.
And if I'm like providing services as a freelancer, where I think it's useful to have these like appointments with clients, why should I use Flowlands and not Calendly? I know it's a provoking question, but I guess you're prepared.
Yeah. It's basically very easy, because with Flowlands, you are in the charge of your calendar. Mm-hmm. And with the Calendly, you can sell your 10 or 20% free time, let's say, the mm-hmm. time slots. But imagine if you would just leave it on the clients itself. You would mm-hmm. really go down with your monthly revenue, and you still have to manage it. And mm-hmm. with Flowlands, you can. With Calendly, unfortunately, you can't.
Mm-hmm. And in Calendly, you don't have recurring meetings, which you do mm-hmm. most of the time as a coach or mm-hmm. something like that.
So it's like more optimized. Like I think for Calendly, it's more like a side feature that you have a payment, like if you have a premium version, but it's also pretty basic, and that's your main focus. Like that people mm-hmm. can do the invoicing and like can do recurring events and like can charge people easily without like doing the paperwork themselves.
Exactly. Well, you can just imagine that you are in the calendar, you live in it, mm-hmm. and you just do the things you like are used to. Mm-hmm. But in addition, with Flowlands, you just get paid and invoice it right away. You don't have to glue it together with some type of other Excel sheets and other invoicing mm-hmm. and payment solutions. All of your most like important things and operations are in mm-hmm. one place, and you don't have to double things like 2-3 times, because once it is in your calendar, mm-hmm. set price and get paid for it, basically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Basically, the admin stuff starts and also ends in the calendar. Mm-hmm. We automate the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. And what are your typical clients? You already mentioned coaches. Is it also like, I don't know, web designers, consultants, stuff like that?
Yeah. Our ideal client profile is focused on session-based mm-hmm. solopreneurs. So mm-hmm. if you have sessions with your clients and share some of your knowledge or other mm-hmm. information, so it's for you. Mm-hmm. As a designer, you mostly tracking the time slot. Mm-hmm. So for once, it not there yet.
Mm-hmm. And how did you came up with the idea? Like how did the whole thing started?
I'm thinking of how much we should go into the
past. Jump into it. Like, I want to hear the full story.
Okay, so you want to start?
Yeah, maybe from the start, I was looking for some Spanish tutoring or Spanish tutor on a college, and I couldn't find anything like this in seconds. I waited for a week before someone respond from other websites. So we started previous startup Study Hub, and from this we were in the contact with professional tutors, language tutors, other freelancers who teach stuff. And then we saw this huge managing and administrative problem with their daily sessions. So from there,
Flowlands was created, basically.
So it was just you solve a problem, you solve a problem, and then you saw, okay, probably this is something you can scale as a SaaS startup.
Yeah. Exactly. We pivot for the better business model.
Yeah, marketplace is really a tough game. Is so much better.
But did you ever thought about like providing your software solution as a white label solution to other people who kind of provide like something like a platform, like a language school or like a music school or something like this?
Yeah, we every week we got a request from the language schools if we can provide our solution, or of course the white label space is there. But yeah, we are focusing right now on the pure SaaS. It could lead to this eventually in the future as another revenue stream or like
more B2B oriented or in bigger clients.
And you have like this typical pricing model, like you have a free thing, you have a starter, you have a professional, and like you charge based on like how many clients someone has, based on how much customizable stuff someone wants to have. So it's like a pretty standard, typical SaaS pricing model, subscription model, right?
I would say it's pretty typical. We have freemium trial for you to try it. And yeah, right now it's limited on the number of the clients we can invoice. But yeah, in the future, we want to definitely add more white labeling, more custom features.
And the goal is you pay us your one session, maybe, and we give you more free time for other 10 sessions more per month.
And did you build the whole thing yourself, or did you hire some people? Because I mean, like the people who are not listening to this, you're pretty, you are both pretty young, right?
Yeah.
So are you experienced developers, or did you found some friends and family, people who can develop, or did you hire someone?
All of it we developed in on site internally. We have a couple really talented, also young developers. So yeah, we had experience with external firms that helped us with really tiny part of it. And I'm sure that this external cooperation could be smooth, but in our case, it really wasn't. So we knew that we want to do it like inside, and we were fortunate that we have really good team, small but really really effective.
But do you consider both of you, do you consider yourself like as a technical founder, or is it more like you found good people and got lucky to hire some good developers?
Steven is more technical, but mm-hmm. he's not a developer. Yeah. I'm more like the founder, mm-hmm. CEO, mm-hmm. who cares about marketing, sales, and other stuff.
So a typical CEO, CTO situation.
I wouldn't call CTO, more like DevOps that I manage the guys. But unfortunately, no, I'm not a developer. And the beginnings were really funny because with the previous startup, we had CTO. We ended up the partnership with, fortunately, in good both like ways. So we had to learn it by like the time and the step by step. But yeah, definitely we were really lucky that we were able to hire really good people in the beginning who are still with us and who believe in this this idea. Without them, like having really average or below average developer and person, like the characters, it would be really much more harder than it is right now. Yeah.
And as it's like, I think lots of companies struggle with finding exceptional developers. how did it go for you? Like was it in your friends group or university, or were you just typically like posting on LinkedIn, we need developers?
Basically, like it started with friends. One of them is really a long year friend from our high school, grammar school, and then via like network, we wanted to hire junior developer, and friends told us, "Hey, he's free. He's really cool. So try it." And yeah.
And with previous startup, we visited some schools and some, I don't know how to name it, basically promotions on schools. And there we, on some technical schools, we find others, other developers.
Cool. And your previous startup was like 1.5 years, and also Flowlands you're doing since over a year. How old are you guys? You seem pretty young.
Yeah,
we are not so
not that young. 26.
26.
Yeah. We turned.
Crazy. Congratulations for having two startups already in this young age. Did you always wanted to be like founder and found a startup and all these kind of things?
For me, it was not exactly a founder. It came through the time, but I always want some business for myself, or like side hustle or something where I'm not employed.
What was the first thing you were building?
I was participated on also like a startup, some kind of a language app for Android.
Okay. So language stuff was like from a start interesting to you. And for you, Stefan?
Yeah, I think it's pretty similar. A couple of times, Patrick reached to me and said, "Hey, this is quite cool." And I was like, "Okay, leave me alone. I don't believe you." No, I'm kidding. The idea of having your own business was always very interesting to me. And quite like quickly, we had the opportunity, because StudyHub was actually fun, like in fun way created or founded, because like 2 or 3 days after the deadline, like deadline passed with a college startup like championship or competition. We applied and they said, "Okay, you still can apply." And we achieved second place, and we got investment by the angel, which was one of the committee on that.
Nice. A quick note about today's sponsor, GoatSign. GoatSign enables you to digitally sign your documents, allowing you to completely leave a printed paperwork behind. I use GoatSign myself, and it saves me a lot of time and hassle. If you're a freelancer, you probably know the problem. You have contracts, you have proposals, agreements, etc. And honestly, for me, that's like a really annoying part of my daily operations. But now I simplify this a little bit with just a few clicks and securely and legally signed contracts with GoatSign. It's not just a tool, it's more like a pioneer for leaner, more efficient workway. No printer is needed, no scanner, no reordering cartridges, no waiting at in the line at the post office. Digital signatures really support my freedom to work from everywhere. And being location independent. With GoatSign, you can focus on the things which really matter, which is in the end your work, your creativity, the things you do and love, and you have a chance to streamline your processes.
Yeah, so
it was like 1 month after we started, so it was really quick.
And then crazy. We had an investment, we did our bachelor's, it was quite good timing, so then like from after one night, we switched to full time, and we got this is something which was pretty cool that we didn't have to, you know, like share the priorities between one thing and another and wait when it's, you know, make it sense for you to go and commit. So we got this opportunity and. Yeah.
So on Crunchbase, it just says Clara Losert invested as an angel, but it doesn't say any numbers. Are you allowed to share the numbers, how much money you got on your first investment?
I think it's public. So this was the second investment into Forum.
Okay.
So Clara is our second investor, and it was 100,000
euros. Oh, nice. Okay, so you were able to pay yourself and to make a living out of it, and even to hire some people, probably not like full-time senior developers, but some people supporting your mission.
The rest of the team is part-time, we are full-time, and others are part-time.
And so the first round was 100,000 and the second round was more, or was the second round 100,000 investment?
It's maybe a little bit complicated because
the second round was
one was that, and the first round was technically still in the study hub startup, which combined was
around 100 also.
Okay.
But I mean, it's some time ago. Like, are you kind of like, so you're making money already and enough money to pay yourself and pay the team? Or is it more like a side hustle still and you try to manage to do it with not spending like full contracts?
It's full time, but it's with part-time team of developer, it's quite hard to develop really good software in short time. So we are moving quickly, but quickly as we have a developer here on site. So it's we earning our first money. We have like lower than of customers, but it's not. Not a break even.
How did you found your first customers? I saw your, I think that's actually how I found you. Like, you launched on Product Hunt really successfully. And yeah, I thought it's a cool product and I invited you. Guys, was Product Hunt the main marketing thing so far for you? Or do you have other channels which are working for you well?
It was definitely a big boost of signups and new users and customers, but definitely the main channel for us is communities and partnerships, tutoring world and coaches and other solopreneurs.
But is this then mouth to mouth, or do you go on Reddit or on Slack groups or Discord channels, or how does it work?
We are trying and like exploring basically all of the options. The core of the communities is that we establish a relationship with the founders of the communities. We are like talking about potential partnerships, mm-hmm. and
through affiliate.
Then we can manage the affiliate marketing, mm-hmm. affiliate provision, mm-hmm. and then every partnership is different. But basically, this is the main source, and we are also like boosting and getting on the backlinking. So the Reddit and Quora and other forms that we are right now trying out.
But if you would give percentages right now, like affiliate marketing compared to reaching out to communities, compared to like backlinks on Reddit, compared to Product Hunt, how would it be?
Mm-hmm. I think it's 90% affiliate with communities and influencers, partners.
Mm-hmm. Do you have some big names already, like influencer-wise?
not so big for Europe or the whole world, but for Czech Republic, we have the biggest community for tutors sign up. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, nice, nice.
It's about, I think, 5,000 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how does the community work? Because I think in Germany there are some communities, but not so much of them. I think the more cool communities right now are more international. Mm-hmm. How do they organize themselves?
I think really depends on the community itself. For example, this Czech one, two female founders like establish it. Right during the COVID, or maybe a little bit earlier, to basically teach and to teach tutors who maybe weren't ready for the COVID itself, mm-hmm. to be able to quickly transform to the online environment and be still able to do their business.
Mm-hmm. And it's a Facebook community and email newsletter.
Is Facebook a thing in the Czech Republic?
Between tutors, definitely.
Crazy. I thought in the last year so often, like, Facebook now is definitely dying, but I recognize, okay, it's just in Germany, like in many, many countries, people use it a lot.
Mm.
If you take these specific groups or communities, I think between them is Facebook definitely a thing. So for first numbers for your startup, I wouldn't throw it away.
Mm-hmm. Definitely for more older audience, I think Facebook is still one of the tops, maybe.
Interesting. Yeah, that's I really like this. Yeah, these insights, because of course everyone is living in his own bubble, and I myself don't use Facebook, but. Probably, people then get ignorant and then are like, probably no one is using Facebook. But I think you always, like human beings are meant that they like assume that everyone is like they are of themselves.
It's really funny how during our life, you know, the biggest like social platforms changes, I think, like every 2-3 years.
Mm.
So, you know, it was MySpace, then Facebook, then Instagram, then TikTok. The one which quickly blow out with the voice.
I forgot the name.
iOS.
It was
that during like, I believe, 3 months, maybe. So it's quite interesting downfall of that. But yeah, it's really fun to watch it and to see how we survived all the new trends.
Are you guys using Threads? from Instagram?
Really, really passively. I download it, but not that like much.
And how about you? Do you also not really use it?
I may be a boomer. Download it.
Not that. For us, I would say it's still LinkedIn and Instagram.
The biggest
social for us.
Yeah, I'm the same. I was afraid when someone's stealing my name, but in the end I saw, okay, you cannot steal the name of people on Threads. So I logged in, but I never really used it so far.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, some people treat it as being the next big thing. I don't know. Okay. If you would be like at the starting point again, because I think you successfully built like a software tool which looks beautiful, which is paying your bills, some part of your bills, definitely. What would be things you would do differently, or what would be things you learned on your journey, which you now would probably skip and give us a fast lane to success, to startup success.
I will start definitely with the growth strategy and go to market strategy and whole things about the earning money, because we got the investments, so we don't need too much focus on earning right away, but the most important thing you can do. So if you bootstrap, you'd be great, because it's many times better than go the investment too early. But if you bootstrap and you can be able to manage your first revenue from your tool, it's I think it's so awesome. So.
Yeah, because paying users and tractions are ultimate answer for everything. You know that you are on the right track, and in the end, it's the only thing which matters. So yeah, this one definitely maybe prioritize better and not build the very complicated and like deep features. You can always cut it, so it's iteration one and it works, and you maybe just iterate and deploy and then learn, because one of the worst thing is to, you know, work on some module on feature 3 months and then you realize, okay, but we have to pivot, or this feature is completely useless because we now know that it's wrong way basically. So yeah, this one, and definitely focus on the distribution and growth part.
And maybe, like you said, we was quite lucky about the developers and these people around us. But if you don't know how to do dev stuff, do it manually, sell it, and then find someone who built it. And it's also great.
How do you mean that, sell it and then build it? Like making just like a sign up form where people can buy something and they already pay for it, and afterwards you start building?
I think you can do the whole process like agency, maybe. You do it for your customers by hand manually, and then you will see if you can build it like a software.
Yeah, because you know, solution to some pain is nice, but you have to build solution which people are able and want to pay for that, right? So if you confirm or deny this hypothesis in the step one with this, and you got pretty like lucky and you won, because okay, it's not there, it's not this one, I have to pivot. If it's there, ultimate proof of concept, and I can start build around it. It's pretty tough, I would say, to sell manual solution or sell the idea, but it makes a lot of sense.
And how often do you release? Because this seems like, okay, it's really important for you to get early on like feedback from the users if they want a feature.
There is all the time. last release was Sunday.
It depends on what is on the timeline, but yeah, every couple of days we deploy.
So almost weekly or twice a week or something like this.
I think in the early stage of the startup, it doesn't really that matter if you have to have 3 week sprint and then 1 week cooldown. Especially in the really early stage, that everything evolves so quickly that you have to maybe don't do that like structured things, and with right prioritization, you just do the most important things that will bring the most, the biggest value for your paying or freemium users.
Yeah, this sounds a lot like the Spotify model, where I'm deeply in love with, which also sounds like, ship as often as possible, even if it's like a tiny little detail, and then look how the market reacts, how user react, how they like it. And do you do user interviews, or how do you get feedback from the users?
Yeah, of course. It's really essential part of it. We have quite regular like calls with paying users, with the users who are thinking about using us. And sometimes when we are lucky, even the like not users, but potential like people from the vertical or segment that we would like to explore it more.
We have our first 100 weekly active users, so always someone texting us that something is broken or doesn't work. The feedback is almost instant.
And then it's really important to answer quickly, right? Sometimes we got email at Sunday evening, and we reply back, and the people on the other side is like, I really didn't expect it that you would answer in this hour. So we think that the users really appreciate that. And
I mean, for sure. Like normally you expect to get an answer 1 week later and be like, some stupid phrase like, yeah, we are already heavily working on it, and then you don't hear something for 2 weeks. And especially as you're releasing like in this like rhythm, like with small releases but often and easy, and probably you also can fix stuff within like a really short time, I guess. Nice. Okay, and what are your goals for the future? Because I think you are on a solid foundation, but of course I'm interested in the vision of Flowlands.
Just now our vision is find a scalable sales channel, which we can lead the sales for thousands and ten of thousand users, and we want save time and earn more money every solopreneur who has a session-based business. That's it.
So simple mission, but of course, hard to implement all of this to a bigger audience. Do you want to add something, Stefan?
I'm thinking, there are really many ways, and really like the maybe products or other solutions that we can build around Flowlands. The market is super huge, and the room for improvement with almost any type of automatization is really, really big. So we are looking forward to save more time, more mental capacity, and earn more revenue for the users. Yeah.
Nice. I think that are great words like to end this. But I think and believe that there's a chance that in 5 years or something, it will have taken a really interesting journey, the whole Flowlands thing. So I would like to already invite you to come back in 5 years to the podcast and then talk about what happened in the last 5 years. Of course, if you're in Berlin, also always feel free to come by. And really, really cool stuff you guys build. I think it's a nice UI. It's a nice useful feature. So congrats. And yeah, thank you that you took the time to be here.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It was a pleasure. Yeah.
I hope you liked today's session with Flowlands. If you like the idea of Flowlands and want to introduce the software to your own workflow, give it a try. I will link it in the show notes. If you like the episode, give it a like, share it with friends, subscribe to the podcast, and see you next time.